listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. The following program may contain adult themes, discussion, and content that some people may find offensive. If you consider yourself likely to be offended, then perhaps you'd like to tune to another frequency for the next hour. If you have any feedback or would like to see information about our other shows, please go online to radioreverb.com.
Good evening and welcome to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. You've just been listening to Left to My Own Devices by the fantastic Pet Shop Boys. I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by two of my favourite presenters, none other than Stephen. Hello.
Hello, David. How are you?
Yeah, oh, sorry, I forgot to say. My name's David, and who else we have in the studio?
Yeah, hi, everyone. It's the Empress in the building today.
Hello, Empress. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Good. So we've got a fun-packed show. We've got some great songs chosen by all three of us. We hope you like them. And if you don't, email with us and tell us what you songs you do want. Mm-hmm. Our email address is info@hivhour.org.uk. And you'll be hearing that email address a lot in the show. And we do love hearing from you. Stephen, great pleasure of meeting you with Josh and Sue in London, didn't we, at the weekend?
Yeah, it was nice to have you lot up in London for a change.
Obviously,
I'm here in Brighton today, but it was nice to have you lot up there.
Yeah, and it's always nice to have you in the studio as well. The sound quality, as listeners probably noticed, is a lot better in the studio than on Zoom. But so what were we doing?
So we were at the Positive UK conference, which they have every 2 years. Mm. At a hotel in London, and it was great, wasn't it, David? We had workshops, we had talks, we had a dance class by the lovely Joshua Royal. It was great, and so it was nice to get together and see lots of other advocates and people who are all working in the HIV sector and have a bit of fun as well.
Yeah, I think it's really empowering, isn't it, for people living with HIV, especially if they've not been to one of these conferences before. They just realise how, you know, they're not alone. And you know that there are people, you know, we've got each other's backs, and we're stronger as a community together, and we're united by the differences between us, rather than as having HIV in common. So I went to a workshop by Vive Healthcare, and that was about their Thrive campaign about living well with HIV, and there's a lot more to it than just taking the tablets, as I'm sure we can agree. Mm-hmm. What was one of the talks that you went to, Stephen?
So I went to one based around faith and HIV and the church. And it wasn't only the church. It was just like any kind of faith organisations. Yeah. But it was... There was actually a lovely guy who ran it, who Sue jumped on at the end and tried to get him, you know, hopefully he's going to come on the show and do an interview.
Right.
But he's a junior priest, a trainee priest. And he was telling, you know, his story about being a man of God, but also being a gay man and a black man and a man with HIV.
Yeah.
So it was all, you know, all things that, you know, make it hard, you know, make it really tough for, made it tough for him anyway. So it was just talking about how having HIV is not a sin.
No,
you know,
it's
something that anybody can get, whether you're a man of God or whether you're just the person walking down the street, you know.
Yeah. I mean, no one deserves HIV. It's not a punishment sent by whoever or whatever, is it?
It's like cancer.
Yeah.
You have not done anything wrong to get cancer.
No.
As long as you're a human being having sex, that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just a virus at the end of the
day. It's just a virus, yes.
And I've had a few, COVID included. And and also faith is really important in people's journeys for the sort of self-discovery, but also being part of a community of faith or spirituality, isn't it?
If it wasn't for my faith, I don't think I'd be here. I actually believe God saved me.
Right.
And it's nice to see that at these conferences, we're now including faith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because as a black African woman, most African people, majority of them are Christians.
Yeah. Mm.
And they go to churches, their pastors, their priests, whoever is in there, don't even know of their status because of stigma in the church.
Mm.
And yet everyone sitting on those aisles is having sex with their husbands, with their wives, whoever it is.
Yeah.
And yet because you just be unfortunate, you got infected, you sort of become like God's punishment. Mm. And it's nice to see that faith is being included in the HIV talks.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah, and let's strive to have a faith-based feature on the HIV mm. hour.
Yeah,
and listeners, if you have any suggestions or if you've had anything that's happened in your journey through life, please get in touch with us at info@hivhour.org.uk. Before we go to our main features, we'll have another quick song, shall we?
Why not?
Why not? So this has been chosen by Stephen, and this is Bring Your Love by Sabrina and Madonna. Well, we do indeed have something to talk about. This is the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area. Now, this is the feature of our show today. It's quite a grim topic, so listeners be advised that may be covering things that are difficult to cope with, really. So in April of this year, the BBC reported that a man in Washington in Sunderland was convicted of deliberately infecting people with HIV. I'm really pleased that we've got Stephen in the studio, because Stephen is a Positive Voices speaker and has some insight into cases like this. Stephen.
Thank you, David.
Send some details.
Yeah. So as you say, this subject can be triggering for people. So make sure if you're listening, you're looking after yourself and, just making sure that you are okay. Because it's a serious subject, and it's a man called Adam Hall from Tynham Weir was arrested after deliberately infecting a number of men, 7 men with HIV over the last since 2010, since his diagnosis. And as David says, this is what happened to me, and not through this case, but happened to me in 2006. So I talk about it often in my talks, just because I want to make people aware of, that anybody is at risk, of HIV, but also of being spiked, which is what happened to me. And this is what this man, Adam Hall, did to the men that he raped. And I suppose I also want to say that it's possible, and it's very likely you will get through this. It's so easy to think, oh my goodness, how do you ever recover? But I know for a long time I was a victim. I'm now a survivor. And I'm very proud of being a survivor. And, I know a lot of other people in my situation who are also survivors. So I just want to put that out there before we get into things. So Hall was diagnosed with HIV in 2010. He was on a number of times when going to the hospital, his team were encouraging him and telling him that he had to be on medication. Mm-hmm. And a number of times he deliberately said, no, I do not want to be on medication. And then deliberately went out and had sex, unprotected sex, with these young men. The youngest was 15. And which just it's terrible at any age, but the age of 15, when he knew the people that the men that he was going to go for, the young, the ones that didn't have any experience. So he was jailed for 23 years. But is that long enough? Do we think? And also I know that the police that investigated this wanted people to be aware of him, because he travelled to London, he travelled to Manchester, he travelled around the country, and they think that there could be more people that this has happened to. Mm. So obviously, if you feel that this has happened to you, or you recognise any of this story, then please get in touch with the police to tell them this.
Mm. Yeah. Or the clinic. If you're not comfortable going to the police, go to the nearest clinic or your GP.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, Positive UK, Terence Higgins Trust, there's a number of great organisations that will help you if you're worried about that you might be positive. So they're there as your resource, if you think you need them.
Yeah, because he was convicted of deliberately infecting seven people, but there was an eighth charge that jurors were unable to make a decision on. So there are, you know, there are definitely more than the seven.
Yeah.
Just because of the charges made against him. And he also even refused to attend the court for his sentencing. Just shows you the callous disregard he had for his victims.
Yeah.
Is that the right word, to call them victims?
Well, this is it, David. It's a difficult one because some people don't like the word victim. Mm. And I understand that. Mm. And that's why I always say I was a victim, because I really was a victim. I didn't think my life could carry on.
At that time.
Yeah, at that time, exactly.
That time, yes.
You know, I didn't think my life could carry on. But now I'm a survivor. So I think you have to see how the person feels. You know, if they're not comfortable with that word, then, you know, is there another word that can be used? But I think, you know, in the newspapers and on the TV, they were using that word victim. Mm. So I can connect with it, but I also know that I had to move on from that word as well.
Mm-hmm. So there's a few things that bring to mind. There's the importance of getting tested, because he didn't tell his victims he was HIV positive.
Nope.
Before, during, or even after sex. So they would have had no idea unless they sort of presented with symptoms. And at such a young age, you're relatively healthy. And why would you wouldn't present symptoms until possibly years later?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the truth will come out all in the end, but how many there are.
And also, if you're presenting with symptoms, if people don't know what the symptoms are, it's like I've met people who are HIV positive. When I met them, I didn't know the symptoms. Mm. But now, looking back, I'm like, yes, those are the symptoms, because now I know what they are.
Yeah. Can you tell us, the audience?
Oh, I grew up in Africa. So in Africa, normally the symptoms, I say, it's like when people are, then it was called full-blown AIDS.
Mm, yeah.
Africans, especially Southern Africans, have got very coily hair.
Mm.
So the hair will start looking like you've done treatment to it. It's like permed hair. Yeah. And that was the first signs. And sometimes the second signs will be having those lymph nodes behind your ears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's herpes, but normally, by the time we notice these symptoms, it will be curly hair.
Right, really?
Very curly hair.
I didn't know and that.
No. Yes, because like my hair is very coily, it will look like permed hair.
Okay.
That's what it started. But I think it will be at a very later stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, you just look like someone who's just unwell. Mm-hmm. You've got maybe chicken pox, you've got this, but we. Although you can have chicken pox without having HIV, we have to let our listeners know that.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's in hindsight, then you think, oh, yeah, of course.
Mm.
Those were the symptoms. But at that moment or that time, if you don't know about HIV, you do know the symptoms.
Yeah.
Go on, Steve.
And he is, Hall is the second man in the UK to be given a jail sentence, because obviously it's different in different parts of the world, that you have to disclose in certain places and you don't in other. And obviously, as we all know, if you're undetectable, then it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But yeah, he was using his HIV as a weapon. There was another man called Jonathan Carl, who from East London, who was charged with recklessly transmitting HIV in 2025. Mm. So he's only the second person, but obviously it's quite scary to think that there are people out there using HIV as a weapon.
Mm.
You know, isn't it? That word really affected me, because I was like, wow, because we work so hard in trying to change the narrative that there was, you
we
know.
Do. I mean, living with HIV, apart from the evil that we're talking about now, we don't want to give HIV to anybody else, do we? It's
exactly.
Not something that, you know, we would wish on anybody else. No. I mean, I've said for many years when I was younger, you know, that HIV is mine. I'm not giving it to anybody. Thankfully, the treatment and the fantastic message of U equals U, which for people that don't know is undetectable equals untransmittable, means that we can't pass it on sexually, but you've got to get onto treatment, and before you get onto treatment, you've got to test, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for young people out there, if you do, you know, if you've got a healthy sex life, please you know, think about HIV tests as part of that healthy sex life and maintaining good health for many, many years to come.
Can I ask you guys, what do you think of the sentence that was given? So he got 23 years, I think. Because there was part of me thinking he should never get out again. But then I don't know, how do people feel about, you know, so he raped, he drugged, he raped, and he infected people with HIV. Mm. So there's part, yeah, I just wondered what you guys thought about the length of the sentence.
I think, unfortunately here in UK, the highest, our life sentence is 23 years. So I don't know whether we'll come to a point where we'll be giving double life sentences like in America, but our life sentence is 23.
And, so it is life. But there's also sentences where there's no possibility of being released, isn't it? Is that whole life?
There's no possibility of parole.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find any details about whether he would be eligible for parole. Mm. Because obviously then sometimes people can get out early and, you know.
Mm. I know, but I think because they said 23 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Probably it's 23. Okay. Let's hope it's 23 years. Yeah, they didn't say with possibility of parole. Possibly be so sad if you come out of prison.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's no sign of remorse. It's the fact that he failed to attend his sentencing hearing.
Yeah.
And I suppose, I mean, we're fortunate to be on life prolonging medication, but before that medication came out, I would say this is attempted murder.
Exactly. Yeah.
It used to be, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I remember when I was diagnosed with HIV, to me it was a death sentence.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
It was just, it means I was just waiting to die.
Yeah.
Mm. So probably that's what they're taking into consideration, that it's no longer a death sentence.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
And the thought of passing it on, I don't know for you guys, but for me, that was my biggest fear. My biggest fear when I was diagnosed 20 years ago was, if I pass this on to anybody. So I stopped having sex because I was just like, no.
Same here.
You know.
I think everyone, because one is stigma, and then stigma that you have got it.
Mm-hmm.
Not even anyone knowing.
Yeah.
Self-stigma. I was not even comfortable.
Mm.
I would go out, have deaths. If he wants to be serious, I'll just run away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I was not even comfortable that I'm living with HIV, and now thinking having sex with someone else.
This
was before you, because you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I've suffered from psychosexual problems in the past, and it was the anxiety about passing it on.
So the thought that this man went out and deliberately did that gives me the shivers. You know, it's just like, oh, you
doesn't
know,
sit in my brain. I just can't think in the terms that he was thinking. I just can't see how human thought can go that way. I know there are evil people in the world.
We have to know that in the world there's always good and evil, and there's always that evil person. I think we spoke about a case in India where a nurse was deliberately infecting babies with HIV.
Yeah.
So we always have those people, but the good thing is that we have got less of these cases now.
Mm-hmm.
It's now more people living longer, maybe people taking responsibility and looking out for each other.
Exactly. You know, despite this story and how grim it is, there's a million and one more people who are doing amazing things, you know, living with HIV and doing amazing things.
Yes.
But it is important to shine a light on the fact that things like this happen and just, you know, definitely thinking about those seven men, you know, because their life has been changed, you know.
Forever.
You know, you'll get through it. It's, you know, there's so many people and there's so many places that, you know, will be there to support you. So,
Are there any good charities that deal with this? Obviously, we know about THT and things like that, but more specialist charities that people could maybe get advice from or support from.
Yeah, so there's the Priory, which is a sexual assault charity in London, and then there's as I mentioned, that Hall had been spiking his, had been drugging some of his victims. So there's also a charity called Stamp Out Spiking, which you can find all their details online. But there's a number of different of sexual health charities. David, you gave me some details of one called MSAS, Male Sexual Assault Support, and they have they're sponsored through NHS England, and if you just go online and look for their details, they will also be there to help and support you if you have been the victim of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. And you, as a positive voice of speaker for Terence Higgins Trust, this is a topic that you give talks to. And how do people respond to that?
Yeah, it's always funny, David, because you know how I know people can get a bit offended by being asked, how did you get it? Mm-hmm. You know, and you just want to say, it's none of your business. But with me, I do talk about it because it's not only HIV, it's spiking, it's male sexual assault, all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So it's always, you know, there's always a gasp of breath when I tell my story, you know, and I get to that point. But it's amazing how many people send messages and say, that really touched me, or I know somebody, or I've been through it myself, and I've never told anybody, you know.
Yeah, so suffer in silence.
Suffer in silence, you know.
Yeah,
the shame of it. Yeah, the shame of it, isn't it? We were talking about that, weren't we, about the shame of you know, the shame that is put out there for men that have been sexually assaulted, which is crazy because you're not to blame.
I'm so glad you talk about this male sexual attacks, because in the heterosexual, I'm a heterosexual woman, and men don't talk about sex anyway. Mm-mm. So to actually say you've been abused by another man, I've never heard anyone talk about this.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage,
and
wouldn't it?
It takes a lot of courage, and I know there's a lot of men this is happening to, but they don't have the courage because society to ask why you, what did you do, what were you showing, why you were drinking, which group of people were you with, why did you go out late, why were you drinking alone, why? It's always, you have to explain to people why it happened to you.
So how would people keep them safe? Like, if they're going on dates, what could you do? What would you advise people to do if they were, like, hooking up on a dating app and meeting somebody for the first time?
So there's great ways, David, you know, and I always say to people, go out, have fun, enjoy yourself, but be aware, you know, because you don't want to stop people having fun.
No.
But there's great things available through Stamp Out Spiking, Stop Tops. So basically, it's just like a foil cover that goes over your drink, and you put your straw through it, and it means that nobody can drop anything into your drink.
Oh, yeah.
There's also we also do bottle tops as well, so you can't put anything in the bottle. Unfortunately, now spiking is happening in other ways. There's injections, in busy places. You know, somebody goes by and you just think, but you don't realise that you've been spiked. Mm. And there's also vapes are being spiked.
Really?
So that's been a big thing because you know what, you know, I see it myself, you know. There's people outside a club or a pub, and there's somebody goes, oh, I've got this Coca-Cola flavour, or I've got this watermelon, you know, do you want to try it? And of course, people are like, oh yeah, give me a go of it, you know, and they're being spiked that way. So there's a lot of ways, you know, so be aware of those things, and also be aware for the people around you, because sometimes, you know, if you're out with friends, you know your friends best, you know. So if we were out, David, I'd be like, David's got drunk awful quickly, you know. Yeah. I would know that there was something unusual, you know. So it's about being aware, but still having fun, you know.
Mm-hmm. I suppose also telling people, if you're going on a date, tell other people that you're, I'm just going over to this so-and-so's house. You know, could you check in with me in an hour or so, or, you know, if
you haven't heard from me.
Then also you've got the person's address. You already know it in advance before you go, so you can give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
I've also noticed that sometimes young kids, when they go clubbing, when one is drunk or one is ready, they just leave one of their friends.
Yeah.
Please try not to leave your friend
in
the club, no matter how drunk they are.
Yeah.
Or if they are refusing to go, please stay with them.
Yeah.
People are vulnerable, aren't they, when they've had a few too many.
Exactly. And that's where people take up, advantage of, and Adam Hall, he contacted a lot of these young men through Grindr.
Right.
So again, it was all done, secretly, So yes, say to people, look, I've got a hookup, or I'm going to meet somebody for a drink, or whatever it might be, and just say, if you don't hear from me, give me a shout, call me,
And get sexually health tested, every 6 months or maybe a quarter, every 3 months.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think in all toilets in England, there's a poster behind the door. So if you feel unsafe, ask for Angela.
Yes,
that's right. Angela. Yeah. And Stamp Out Spiking have been pushing out training for door staff, for bar staff, for anybody in the club industry, or or nightclubs, or bouncers, all these people, because so often it's easy to say, oh, he's had too much to drink, or she's had too much to drink, let's kick her out, when really they've been spiked. So it's about making these people aware as well of what to look for and what to recognize.
My neighbor went out a couple of weeks ago and she got so drunk, the taxi drivers wouldn't take her.
Oh, right.
And then, thankfully, I didn't know this, she went into one of the churches which are open.
Right.
And that's where she slept the whole night.
So wow.
She feel unsafe.
Yeah.
If there's a church near you, most churches, Church of England and Catholic churches, the doors are open. Go in there. You'll be safe.
Yes, and also in some cities they have safe spaces. So in Brighton, if you're visiting Brighton or you're a Brighton resident, there's a lot of nightclubs on the seafront, and there's a CGL, which means a Change, Grow, Live safe space, that's signposted in West Street, just down the road between the beach and the station, so that if you are feeling a bit wobbly or you're just feeling vulnerable, you can pop to that safe space or ask people to guide you to that safe space. And obviously they have trained counsellors and drug workers there as well.
And obviously it's Pride season, so everybody's going to different places for Pride, so please be aware, have fun, but be aware that these are prime places where these bad people are going to be looking for victims, so just be aware of these things.
Thank you both, and thank you, Stephen, for everything you do with the charities that are associated with this topic. I know it's hard, but I know you find it very rewarding, and you're helping, you're making a difference to people's lives.
Thank you, David.
So thank you. I don't know how really we're going to follow that with a song, but I'm going to do something nice and gentle, and it's one of my favourites at the moment. It's called Slave to the Rhythm, and it's by Lady Blackbird and Trevor Horn. Wow, what a great song that, and Trevor Horn, it's one of my favourite albums.
I love that.
Echoes.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. So, should we go to some community news, and we can talk a little bit in depth about things?
Yeah.
So, we've had you talking for a while, so we'll get you to talk about your thing in a bit. So I'm going to talk on behalf of Joshua Royal, who's a good friend of the show.
Yes.
And he runs a project called, a multifaceted project called HIV, The Naked Truth. And as listeners may remember, I took part in an exhibition that was in London for World AIDS Day last year. It's called HIV, The Naked Truth, but it was 14 activists and allies and advocates that were all nude. But tastefully done, yeah. So that exhibition is going to be in Brighton over the Pride weekend and that week. So HIV, The Naked Truth exhibition. This will be a fundraiser for Positive East, based in London. And as I said, it's 14 LGBTQI plus activists in the nude. And it's been photographed by Rodway Olukoya. The exhibition will be at the Phoenix Art Space in 10 to 14 Waterloo Place in Brighton. So if people know central Brighton, it's just on the main sort of... It will be on the main parade route that the Pride Parade will be going past, and I'll be in there on Pride Day itself, because I can't be marching anymore with my bad back, so I'm going to be in there explaining the exhibition to visitors. So the HIV Hour is really pleased to announce that we have some spaces available for the private viewing, which takes place on Thursday, the 30th of July, from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock, and that will be hosted by Astina Mandela, that people might remember from
Drag Race.
Yeah. So we have there'll be a little bit of bubbly and stuff, and people will be there to explain their portraits. So we've got a couple of spaces for the private viewing. If you'd like to come along as our guests, please do email the HIV Hour at info@hivhour.org.uk. And as I'm talking about email addresses, let's tell you about the website. So our website is www.hivhour.org.uk. You can find us on various different social media things. And we'll talk about that. I'll let Stephen talk about that when he speaks next. I'm hogging the microphone at the moment. But we're really proud to be sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies, and thank you for the sponsorship, because this is a radio station with no adverts in it, so we do rely on sponsorship for the show and for the station. What else do we have? Oh, I've got a little readout from Josh. So Josh couldn't be with us today, and we send him all our love. So this is something that's going on this is the Kemp Town Club, in conjunction with St George's Church in Kemp Town, have received some funding to allow us to create an event for the LGBTQI community organisations and small businesses. And this will take place on the 30th of July until the 2nd of August. And also, they're looking for organisations to come forward if they'd like to be part of this. So there's going to have. So if you'd like to set up a community stall, you can do that. And if that's all the organisation you can do, you can have a church for the whole week if it's if you don't want to have just one for one day. So that's from and also they're going to be having a film night at the latest bar. It's going to be a queer film night, and on the evening, on the Friday at 7 p.m. there'll be a cabaret night in the church. This is St George's Church, with some local singers and drag acts, and there'll be further details to follow. Now, Josh will keep us in touch. On Saturday, a band who sings 40s jive, 50s rock and roll and 60s music will be performing. And on Sunday, there'll be a minister at the church, Father Andrew Manson Brailsford, and his husband, Sandro. They have agreed to conduct a service of thanksgiving and remembrance for those in the LGBTQI plus community who have died due to AIDS and HIV. Father Andrew is looking for members, looking for people who want friends, partners and family members to be remembered, so bring name cards, and they will hopefully set up a permanent book of remembrance at the church. After the church service on Sunday, they're hoping to have as many community stalls and businesses as possible in the church and in the grounds, and there'll be an open mic stage outside until 6 p.m. with food stalls and a bar. And apart from the cabaret night on Friday, it's free for all community groups and businesses to attend. And this is a fundraiser that will raise money for the Sussex Beacon, which is very soon to be reopening upstairs as the country's first LGBTQI plus centre for palliative care and hospice care. Obviously, there are still, there are many activities that are currently running at the Sussex Beacon. In fact, I'm going to chat about that. On Sunday, we led a pilot walk, a health walk along the seafront from the Palace Pier to Rottingdean, and that'll be the first of many. We sort of tested it out, the right route length and ability for people of ages. The eldest person that attended was 83. And in fact, I was the youngest at a mere 56.
It's not very often that happens, is it?
No, but it was a lovely walk in the sunshine, and we hope to do a health walk once a month.
That's a really good idea.
And other activities. So it's great, so it's just like walk and talk, so people can support each other as they're walking, or they can admire the countryside, or walk together as a group, or they can fall behind and have one-to-one chats. A really great safe space to have sort of peer support. So don't forget the Kemp Town Club.
The St George's Church.
The walks will be for people living with HIV. So they'll be organised by the Sussex Beacon. But there's been a new group called called Peer Link that's going to have a soft launch this month, and then full details will be announced next month. So that'll be any activity that you want to do with other people who are living with HIV. Okay. That help will be given to you to try and facilitate that. So if you want to go canoeing and or have a day trip to, I don't know, Kew Gardens, or go and have a picnic in the park, or just have a paddle at low tide in the beach. We do have sand in, on, when it's low tide. So any ideas like that where you know can really sort of strengthen the community and get together, and you know we can help refer people to other services. Other services can refer people to Peer Link as well. So watch this space for Peer Link. Further details be announced to come, but it's for people living with HIV, and I imagine it'll be for people affected by it as well. So if you wanted to bring partners, friends, carers, family members, I'm sure they'll be very welcome, as long as obviously they appreciate that it's primarily an HIV space for, you know, a safe space. What else is going on community-wise? So do you know what's going on the 21st of July?
It's Anti-HIV Stigma Day, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed. Yes. Yeah, so that's so Zero HIV Stigma Day. It's a national day, actually, but we do quite a lot in Brighton and Hove. So why is it the 21st? I can tell you. So it was International Zero HIV Stigma Day is held on the 21st of July, and that happened to be the birthday of Prudence Nobantu Mabele. And she was the first woman in South Africa to publicly disclose her HIV status. So how brave is that for somebody in Africa to do that?
God, I don't even know how she did it.
Yeah.
Because up to now, people are still not talking about their status.
Yeah.
So she was extremely brave.
Yeah, yes. So she passed away in 2017, so before COVID, in a place where HIV is seen as a death sentence in many communities, isn't it?
Yes, and I don't even know how to say it. It's not even seen as a death sentence. It's seen as a dirty disease.
Mm.
You must have done something wrong. You're going to hell. You're stepped out of your marriage.
Yeah.
You're sleeping with many people.
And it's that stigma that's crippling, isn't it? I mean, there was a good campaign by THD in Scotland. I don't know why it didn't do it in the last country, but you know, HIV stigma is more harmful than HIV itself.
Yes. Yeah.
And you could even say that the stigma is a killer, because if you don't get tested, you know, the catastrophic, the results of not living with long-term HIV without treatment is catastrophic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it could kill.
What a great legacy.
Done, Prudence.
Yes.
I think it was the NAS charity that helped create this.
Yeah.
So HIV Stigma Day, it happens in London as well. Other cities may commemorate it. So we have a fun-packed load of events. It's based in the outside the Jubilee Library. So there'll be an event hosted by a local drag queen, Mary O'Cart. I love that name. And the event will include inspiring speeches from people living with HIV and local community leaders, music from the fabulous Rainbow Chorus, and complimentary food and drink from the fantastic Lunch Positive. You've actually spoken at one of these events, haven't you, Stephen?
I did, probably about 2 years ago, David. Yeah, and it was lovely. It was just such the crowd were, you know, a real mix of people. Some people that had just stumbled along it, you know, going to find the lanes, and they'd ended up, you know, with us. But it was just such a lovely group of people, and great, you know, the choir, the drag queen, you know, just a lovely, fun day, you know, with HIV centred, you know, in it. And it,
great. So, Stephen, well, I'm going to pass the microphone over to you. So you've got something coming up too, haven't you?
I have. As a lot of you know, because I have spoken about it many times, my one-man show, Shadow Dreamer. So last year and this year, Shadow Dreamer did a UK tour and did Manchester, London, Glasgow, Devon. And I really wanted to come to Brighton, and I am now coming to Brighton with my show. So it's going to be on the 4th and 5th of August, and it's going to be at the Lantern Theatre. And two nights. So if you're in Brighton and you would like to come and see it, you've heard me rattling on about it for so long, then please come along. You can go to either the Lantern website or to www.shadowdreamer.co.uk, and that will direct you to the Lantern, and you can get tickets online. And yeah, it'd be lovely to have you there. And I feel Brighton was one of the places, you know, that I wanted to do, so to the fact that it's actually happening now is, yeah, it's lovely. I'm really looking forward to it.
I came to see you when you performed at the Fitzrovia Chapel in London. That's a beautiful venue, which was the chapel for the HIV and AIDS.
Yes, exactly.
Back in the day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's lovely that you're in the Lantern Theatre, which is in St James's Street. People that don't know Brighton, which is sort of more or less the epicentre of the LGBTQI plus community, isn't it?
Yeah.
What time is the performance on?
So 7:30. So doors open 7, and the show's on at 7:30. And yeah, as you say, David, where the theatre is, you know, when I contacted the Lantern, they said this will go down well here. Mm. I was like, great.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just after Pride, so I hope there'll be lots of visitors still in town.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it's just after Pride, and you know, whether you're looking for something to do to wind down a little bit from the buzz of Pride, or, you know, as you say, if you're still in town, or if you live in Brighton and you just think, I want to go and do something different, come along and see the show.
This is quite different. I mean, I saw you perform it in London, but it's got everything you would hope for in a night out at the theatre in terms of emotions, I would say.
Well, thank you, David.
You know, it's you know, you've got your, you know, just grace and humbleness, but also, you know, some, you've already talked a little bit about some of the things that have happened to you, but you do it with such compassion towards yourself and other people. It's definitely well worth a watch, and I think it's only a small theatre, so it's quite intimate, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's 50 seats.
Yeah,
so
I imagine it'll sell out fast.
So yeah, get in there fast and get those tickets.
So if you do email the show at
I have to read this off the paper. I'm sorry, everybody, because I always forget. Our website is www.hivhour.org.uk, and you can contact us on info@hivhour.org.uk. Is that right, David?
Yes.
I got it right. Thank you.
And yeah, so if you want to email us, please do, because I think we've got 2 free tickets to see the show. I imagine it will sell out quite quickly, with it only being for 56. So
fingers crossed.
Yeah. I'm really excited for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. And Abigail, should we finish with one of your songs?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do
great
that.
One to finish on,
I'd like
to
introduce it.
The song is called The Stora Hotel by Naomi Rain.
Right, lovely. Thank you for listening, listeners. We love hearing from you. Please do get in touch with any suggestions for songs or stories for the show, or if you would like to be a presenter even. We're always looking for fresh new voices. So, see you the other side.
Bye.
Bye-bye.